This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
K-Rex.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC. Spot first from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we your number one spot.
Let's go, baby. What's good? Hey, come on in, man. It is Halloween.
Yes, sir.
We welcome you in here to the Thursday, October 31st edition of D'Lo and Casey.
That's correct. You on it?
Damian Broiling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
And two of my favorite people in the whole world. Hey, let's go.
Just pop up.
Let's go.
I know. They did some wild things over here, Kevin.
Excuse me. You know I listen to your guys' show every day. You want to talk about wild? There's a video circulating on the internet of what you guys do on your show.
Right.
That was wild.
No, Kevin, the video is you.
That was wild. It wasn't planned, though.
Can I explain? I'll be very careful.
I'd love to hear you explain this.
Wow. Okay, so we play a game called Fun Delivered, and Fun Delivered is a company that buys undelivered packages because, like, if you know when you order something and then it just never shows up, it sits at a post office or at a UPS or whatever. So these ladies buy them all up, and then you can go on their website. I think Kyle actually did this for him and his friends.
He won a very wholesome stuffed animal
Kevin. Yes, but he actually, that's when he was on our show. He actually went onto the website and bought packages from them, which you can do. They send us a bunch of packages, and every week,
apparently,
you don't know what's going to be in the package that you're opening. So we go around, and this week, Kevin chose a package.
Yep.
Looked very innocent.
Did not.
Oh. Well, on the outside.
The best part was
Kevin
was like, this is squishy.
Well, because it's
squishy.
It was still in the package.
I would have thought it needed to be hard.
Okay. All right. Just stick with me. So we each go around and open ours because we don't know what they are. And Kevin was, do you want to say surprised?
I would say I was scared for our listeners.
Okay. Mm. He got an adult toy.
Yes.
Yes.
There was a plot twist, though.
Well, we later discovered on the air that it was for a gentleman.
Yes.
And Kevin was scared by all the settings.
There's six different settings.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And they get faster.
Oh, Lord.
Our show has nothing okay. on what you guys okay. do.
You know what? You might be.
We just hit an occasional pause joke. You guys are on a.
Well, you would have paused a lot.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So, Kevin, the winners. You guys are. Gavin didn't participate with us, but you guys dressed as the Beetlejuice characters.
Yes. I'm from the new movie.
The Beetlejuice
yeah.
characters.
Yeah.
And so, how often do they make you wear a dress?
Just when it's group costume.
Because you were.
I think he means
it was Wednesday
night.
Last.
How often for Halloween?
Oh, never.
No, you were one last year.
It was Wednesday. Year. I told yeah. you it was Aren't only for when we do groups. I was Wednesday.
That's right.
And then now I'm Winona Ryder.
Lydia
Dietz.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who are you?
I am a character from the new movie. Mm-hmm. It's Beetlejuice's ex-wife, Dolores.
Oh.
And when you're first introduced to her, she's been chopped up into many pieces.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
But then she staples herself back together.
And so that explains the makeup, which you were working on all morning.
Okay, I also was doing a show.
Well, you were. No, you absolutely were. Right. You're multi-talented. That's fine.
Right.
It's terrific.
Yeah.
And we're also talking to the... first place finishers.
Yeah,
right.
Costume.
They did beat out
at Odyssey.
Kyle and James. They did beat out D'Lo.
I mean, y'all did your thing. I ain't gonna front, but Kyle and James. That's who I thought was gonna win it, man. I thought they was gonna win it. They did their thing.
And I would have stood by it if they did.
James came through with showing his Achilles. You know what I mean? Showing Achilles. I was like, oh man, that might put him over the top.
The part that I think was really the chef's kiss for the costume was. Gotta show those ankles.
Yeah, no one would think it's funny if your ankles. No one would even know who Kyle was if his ankles weren't out. Like, the costume would have fallen. And he was right. He was describing that on the air. He was like, I was afraid people thought I just got dressed this morning. But when you hike your joggers up a little bit, it's like, oh, that's D'Lo.
Yeah. And you guys just didn't want to lean into it this year?
Oh.
Nah, I was busy. I didn't even get a chance to think about Halloween.
They were busy.
I dressed up last year.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, nobody. I forgot. There
you
a
wore
lot
a hat.
Here.
Okay, that is
well,
not, okay.
No, I think I kind of killed it if you knew what was going on. Though. It took a lot
to
of
say,
explanation.
If you knew what my
Wait,
costume was, then...
Maybe I may, weren't you prime?
Yeah.
You just wore the hat.
That's exactly how he dressed. He wears the hat, he wears the jacket, he has the hoodie.
Oh,
like,
he did the video
it was exactly,
and everything.
It was
yeah,
exactly how he dresses at practice.
Oh.
I remember.
Okay, I just thought you wore your mom's hat.
That was part of it.
And you don't dress up.
I don't. I've never been big into Halloween. Like, even as a kid, I was thinking about that this morning. I remember two costumes that I had for you. One was Bo Jackson, but it was a black shirt with silver 34 letters. Like, it was a T-shirt, and my mom put sponges under my...
Oh.
Yeah, we were poor, so that's what we did. And then I think I had a Freddy Krueger mask and glove for like 3 years.
Okay.
And that was it.
You just committed to.
Yeah, that was all I had. Like, I can't remember a single, other than like when I was young, I know I had the Michael Jackson glove.
Sure.
But I think that's all I had.
Do boys not want to dress up for Halloween because it makes them feel silly?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
It's just, it just, like for me personally. Same thing. I don't remember a whole lot. I remember one year in like middle school, I was Dennis Rodman. My mom had a Dennis Rodman jersey, Bulls jersey. So I
love
that.
Your mom, by the way. Your mom cracks me up. Just you guys are just best friends, bebopping around, going to games together, wearing her hat. She's got jerseys. That's, she sounds wonderful.
She's a delight.
Yeah.
She's an absolute delight. But she was, so I remember I did that and I drew a bunch of tattoos on and had some clipping earrings and spray painted my hair blonde. And then when I was an adult, I was DMX like 3 years. I was like, I can't bring that back anymore, so that's good.
I do think guys, like boys, tend to like, no matter the circumstances, like they have a costume and it's just like, I just want candy and I want to go out and walk around at night with my friends without getting in trouble. So I don't know, just I'll be DMX again.
So, well, do you mean like boys or men? Like
no,
high schoolers?
No. Like if you're a high school boy, do not come to my door.
What?
Go get a job and buy your own candy.
No,
I'm,
still
it's not,
Halloween.
I'm not. That's not what I'm here for. This is for.
What's the
children.
Cutoff age?
Are they wearing costumes?
Yes.
Good costumes. Not like
well,
I'm DMX again.
What if they were poor like me?
Okay, but you had a costume.
I had a shirt.
Okay. I might. Okay. If
I think
you
I
had
eye black too.
Okay, then I'll count that. I'd say you can go up to 14 if you're a boy, 16 if you're a girl.
So when does it start over again?
When you're an adult?
Yeah.
Well, that depends.
College.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just a 4-year period where you can't dress up as a
yes,
boy.
Yes, because teenage boys are a menace.
Well, I don't think girls can either.
They can up to 16.
Oh, 16. So they get 2 extra years.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. And so Abby, the 16-year-old is not going out tonight.
Abby is not going out tonight. Okay. No. She might like hang out with her friends, but she's not going trick-or-treating.
Got it.
Right. Gotcha. I feel like when you can drive a car, you can't beg people for candy anymore.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
You know?
Well, you're not begging people
for
candy.
Kevin, your thoughts.
I feel like there's no age limit.
Really?
Just have a sense of, you know, you shouldn't be gone.
Okay. To be in fairness, you're 30 and living your mom's house.
Okay. If they're giving big candy bars, you can't just like go over there.
No, you have to bring a child with you. You're 30 years old.
I'll have a child. I just want some big candy.
Kevin, are you going trick-or-treating tonight?
No.
In fairness, I want you to know he has a nephew. He's not just going to grab some child.
Now, specifically, you're saying trick-or-treating. Like, if you're 17 years old, you can dress up.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. You're just talking specifically door-to-door, trick-or-treating.
I encourage it.
Okay.
But please don't come to my door and try to eat my Reese's.
Would you slam the door in their face?
No, of course not. But I'd use a stern tone.
All right, fine. That's fine. Talk sternly and give me the Snickers. I don't give a damn.
Man, I don't know. I've heard the stern tone before. You don't want that.
I do a very heavy sigh.
Oh, you do a very heavy sigh for sure. You know what, though?
The 17-year-old, you talk sternly. Give me my damn Snickers.
My Medicarin.
The Chef Monty says, that's why you go to the Oogie Boogie Bash at Disneyland. And I know what that is.
I'm so proud of you.
I know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What the Oogie Boogie Bash is. The Oogie Boogie is a character
from
A Night Before Christmas.
Well, no. Nope. No. Oh, no. Oh, you want to try again?
I don't, it's just my favorite movie. So
that's okay.
Your favorite movie?
Do you want to try again?
Oogie Boogie Bash. He's a villain too.
Right, okay. Nightmare Before Christmas.
What'd I say?
Night before Christmas.
Oh, this isn't a that's Christmas what I special. Meant.
Okay.
You knew what
yeah,
I meant.
Yeah, you knew what I meant.
I give me the credit for that.
Okay, you have the credit.
So normally you would be with us but you didn't want to do it in your costume and I
no,
understand.
I
so
didn't
you just
want to
came
stay here too long
and
in my costume.
Hung out with us. So we brought Kevin and introduced Kevin to the whole crew. So
yeah, my dress is about to pop.
Okay, well, go change clothes. That's a sentence that's never been uttered on this show. We'll get the show started next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, man, we had the Halloween fun. Now it's time to get back down to business, or not back down to business. It's time to get to business. We appreciate you wherever you at. Obviously, no Kings game last night. There was a World Series. We saw a World Series closer. Dodgers bring home their first real World Series. since 1988. Technically, it is their second World Series victory of the last 5 years. And man, I was I mentioned this a little bit earlier. Kyle Mattson was at the house with me, and we watched that epic fifth inning collapse in real time. And that was one of the most stunning things I've ever seen in a championship situation. Just air after air. Everybody knows I'm going to do it. Garrett Cole, what happened last night?
I don't know.
Never mind. It wasn't just Garrett Cole. It was Aaron Judge, his only air of like the entire season. Just an epic collapse by the New York Yankees at home last night in a game that ended their season.
Man, that was unreal to see. I didn't see it in real time. I had a school event for my son to go to, but I was following along on the game, and they seeing me on the phone and seeing the score. And man, that Garrett Cole one, that was wow. I mean, to think if he does his job there, Mookie Betts is pretty fast. Maybe they don't get him. I think they do, but you know, if he does his job there, they're out of that at 5-0. That is something that will haunt that franchise for a while until they get a world championship. Because just, you know, a brain freeze and not doing your job real quick leads to, like you mentioned, one of the biggest collapses of all time. That's tough. That is tough.
And it's, I think the one thing that will stall the Yankees out a little bit in history is it was 3-1. If that series is 3-2 or worse, 3-3, that's a moment that franchise holds on for eternity. Mm. That's what's his name? Buckner? Mm-hmm. The Mets ground ball. It's Aaron Bleepin. It's a whole new thing in baseball lore. If that is a 3-3 series versus a 3-1 series. I think in the end they get stalled out because you really have to use your imagination, you know, if they hold on to that game and determine what happens next. But still, man, the momentum was all on the side of the New York Yankees. And the craziest part is to me, they got the lead back.
Yeah.
After all of that.
Yeah.
After one of the worst innings in a championship situation in history, they got the lead back and still couldn't hold on.
Like I said, I was in and out of it live. They got the lead back at 6-5. And I think the following inning, because it wasn't right back when the Dodgers got up. I was doing some stuff, turned on the radio. And they were like, yeah, here comes Aaron Boone to get so-and-so pitcher. Bases loaded, no outs. Yeah. I said, well, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
What? It just didn't seem like it was going to happen for him after that collapse in the fifth inning. You know, a lot of people having fun with it. And, no, I'm a Giants fan. I hate the Dodgers. Somebody tweeted out something last night that is actually pretty spot on. Do I want the Dodgers to win anything? No. But after experiencing what I experienced as a Giants fan in 2010, it's not that big of a deal. If the Giants had never won and all this happened with the Dodgers or whatever, I might stop watching sports. Like that, it might be that devastating. But I got to experience it. So I'm good. And the only thing left was just hating on the Dodgers, and they won their championship. So it don't really bother me as much as I thought it would. It's whatever. I mean,
I hope not, because that's a good baseball team that might even be better next year.
Well, the other thing about it is it was the inevitable. They've been.
That's what it feels
and
like.
I'm not even like throwing shade. I'm just.
No, I know exactly what you're going to say.
They've been throwing money at this and been the best team for more than a decade. Like, to think they were going to go. They say it's a 25-year span where they're throwing money and they're got the best farm system on. To think they were going to go 25 years without ever winning one is – no, it was going to happen at some point. It might happen again. It probably will happen again. They've got something going on in Los Angeles that is it's the envy of the entire baseball world, basically, because they have the money, They got the resources. They got the farm system. They got everything clicking right now to keep this going. And they've got the player. They've got him locked up for 10 years. And the other player
I was
going to
say, remember when Mookie Betts was the player?
Yeah, they got all these guys locked up for the next decade. So I can't ever see this ever ending, to be honest with you. I don't know why it would. I mean, almost to the extent of the Yankees, right? Like the Yankees since 90, I would say 96.
Okay.
They've been there.
Yeah.
Have they won? No, but it's been the Yankees. They've had the money. They've had the resources since 96.
Yeah.
We're going on 30 years.
Yeah.
I expect the Dodgers to have that same type of 30-year, you know, run of top flight baseball and the way they run the organization.
Is it good for baseball if the Dodgers go on a run?
I am of the belief that having a team to shoot for is always good for whatever league you're doing, you're watching. So yeah, having them there as the legit top flight team now that they've won a championship,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it gives everybody somebody to shoot for. It gives the viewing public someone to hate.
Mm-hmm.
And a reason,
which
to
sometimes
watch.
Important, yeah.
It gives them a reason to watch.
That's what the Warriors were.
Exactly, that's what the Yankees are.
Sure, absolutely, you know what I mean? Yeah. Love or hate.
Yeah, I think it's. I can't see it being a
because it feels like it could happen.
The only way it could be a bad thing is if it happens too much. Like
so,
the,
you know
the
where
Warriors
I...
at the last year of the Warriors was forgettable. The last year they won, it was forgettable.
You're not talking about the Celtics year, or you are talking about the Celtics?
No, I'm talking
year.
About the, my bad. I'm talking about the second KD year.
Yeah.
That was forgettable.
For sure.
The finals was forgettable.
Yep.
It was a waste of time, and it was unenjoyable to watch if you're not a Warriors fan. There was no reason to tune in.
Right.
It can't get like that for too long.
Yeah.
Maybe to have a year or two like that, but it can't be like that for too long. But, I think it's still good. That you have a top flight team.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at the Patriots. The Patriots became a team to hate. The Warriors very, very quickly became a team to hate. Having a team to hate isn't the worst thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the Juan Soto thing will be interesting to watch. I know he said he's probably not leaving New York. Something that could turn them into the ultimate villains is Juan Soto winds up in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like... Okay. It just becomes one of those things like, what are we doing here?
Right.
That doesn't ensure that the Dodgers are going to win because, as you've noted, they've been throwing money at their roster, and it's perfectly within the rules of Major League Baseball. There's nothing wrong with it. But they have been throwing, you know, they have been attempting to put together the most talented roster for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably a decade, as you noted. So it's not, it doesn't solidify a World Series title.
Yeah.
But it does. Put that marker on them through, you know, the 160 some odd games or whatever it is, and creates storylines that center around the Los Angeles Dodgers should something like that happen.
Do you think, I was thinking about this as we talk about it, do you think there needs to be a salary cap in baseball?
Because
I kind of think you should. I think that
needs to be a salary floor.
I agree with that.
Absolutely.
My issue, you shouldn't be able to do what you did with Shohei Ohtani. Mm-hmm. Like the Bobby Bonilla thing, like if an organization wants to pay you, what is it, like $20 million more than what they owe you? Because like that's essentially a separation agreement.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That's perfectly fine. But what they did with Shohei to circumvent the salary cap is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know a lot about Shohei Ohtani outside of baseball. I don't know how he can do that.
Yeah.
But most people can't.
Right.
Most people can't defer what was it, $75 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
Most people can't defer that
mm-hmm.
till, you know, 10 years from now.
Right.
Like that's insane. So I think those types of things should not be allowed. you have a player, you play the player. That's how we monitor this. Mm-hmm. Well, no, actually, they're only getting paid $75. They're getting paid $750 million in 9 years. Mm-hmm. What? No, who could do that?
Right.
Nah, I do think there are flaws in the way baseball operates like that.
Yeah, I think there should be something that resembles the NBA salary cap. The NBA salary cap is a little wonky because I don't like
how, it's wonky, but it might be the only one that makes sense.
It's the best one. It's the best one. It's better than the NFL. And the reason why I say it's a little wonky is because I'm not sure if I like how you have so many penalties if you're signing players that you drafted. You know what I mean? Like that, I don't know if it should be an amnesty thing or, you know, it shouldn't go completely against the cap or whatever, but I wish they would have fixed that. The guys that you drafted, that you brought up in baseball that would be in your farm system, you should be able to go over the cap without such harsh penalties. But as far as just signing free agents, like, yeah, like you can't just in the NBA, you can't just go sign anybody
mm-hmm.
Without a major penalty. And that and that's why I like the NBA one, because it doesn't make it where it's like just completely illegal. It says, all right, you can actually go get whoever you want and pay them whatever you want, but it's going to cost you. You know what I mean? Like the Warriors
right. yeah,
can
yeah.
go get Giannis. Yep. I think they can. Maybe they can't even do it now legally, but just bear with me. They can go get Giannis,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to cost you his contract and another $600 million in penalties.
Mm.
Like, if you want to do that, by all means, go ahead. And I think that's the fairest thing. I don't like the NFL where it's just, no, the hard cap, so to speak. Like, no, you can't go do that. It's literally illegal. You don't have any more money to do it.
I don't think anyone even knows how that works. No one knows how the NFL salary cap works. Like, oh. if we've heard, like, if an owner wants to find money to circumvent the salary cap, they're going to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then there's no salary cap.
Right.
What are you talking about? Jerry Jones just hasn't figured out how to do it, but the Los Angeles Rams have had it mastered for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I maybe
baseball does need something.
Because that's the only thing. Like, and that's what I think about with the Soto thing, right? It's like, all right, you can go. You got another $600 million to just pay Juan Soto, and now you're adding Juan Soto to the team that you have. Like, all right, man. Because there are teams that, and not saying the Giants are one of them. I'm just saying, just in general, there are teams that literally just can't compete with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, all right, well, what are we doing? At least in the NBA, like if Vivek wants to, he can do all the things that the Warriors do. If he wants to, it's there for him. I'm not even going to go to Fisher's ridiculousness, but the Baltimore Orioles,
mm-hmm.
they can't do that. They can't go dollar for dollar with the Dodgers and the Yankees and those teams. So,
yeah.
But, and you know, I got friends, good friends that are Dodger fans, man. Congratulations to them. Like I said, it doesn't bother me as much as I thought it might. It's whatever. It's cool. Congratulations to them.
All right. Congratulations to the Dodgers.
Dodgers can still go to hell, but congratulations to them.
Straight to hell or?
Straight to hell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talked about this briefly with the insiders. De'Aaron Fox told the G-Man following the win against Utah the other night, that he's been playing through an injured finger. He had his fingers taped, or I guess he's been had his fingers taped. G-Man saw him kind of fiddling with it and asked him, you know, what's going on? And he said he injured his finger on his dominant hand, his left hand,
mm.
on the second or third play of training camp.
Mm.
And G-Man asked, so like, what are we, you know, looking like here? And he was like, well, unless we get a month off, it's here to stay. So I thought that was interesting. I hadn't heard anything about that. This is directly from De'Aaron, by the way. This isn't a report. Like, De'Aaron Fox told Gary Gerald this. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. And I started looking like, no, De'Aaron's been playing well. He's had some moments of where he looks a little reserved. Huh. And then I started thinking, well, maybe I'm making too much of this. Well, maybe it's nothing. Maybe it is something. I'm not really sure. De'Aaron's never going to make. De'Aaron could be missing three fingers. And he'd be like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Let's just get through the season. Like, De'Aaron minimizes every injury he's ever had. You know, he acknowledged once, I think he rolled his ankle. He was like, yeah, it hurt. But that was it. Mm-hmm. That's all he'll ever acknowledge is, oh, it hurt. And he's just going to keep going. So I'm not sure if this De'Aaron Fox thing is a big deal or not.
He scored like 28 the other day, right?
Yeah, I think against the Lakers.
Yeah, I think it's a minor deal, if anything.
What's his? I should have taken this note. I don't. I thought I did. Maybe I didn't. No, there it is. 21.5, 46% from the field, 29% from three. Does maybe that explain? Because 46% feels low. 29%, given what he's been doing, it's not. Oh dear God, low. But it's a little lower, especially after what we saw him do last year. Mm-hmm. It's a little lower. Maybe that's and truth be told, at least for me, 21.5 is lower than what I expected starting this season. Mm-hmm. What Domas is doing is what I thought De'Aaron was going to do. He's going to take control of everything, mm-hmm. and that hasn't really happened. Maybe this is part of the reason why. Maybe it's has nothing to do with nothing. Maybe it's literally absolutely nothing. But it certainly caught my attention when I saw Tristy's article this morning.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's nothing. It's a finger injury on his shooting hand. I'd like to know what it is. Is it just a jam? Is it, you know, may it require surgery at the end of the season or something like that? I think those type of questions being answered would say if maybe, you know, it's more more affecting his play than another injury would. But I do think if he believes that it's not much of anything and he can play through it and he's going to continue to play through it, I think it's going to be something that maybe he just has to adjust to. You know, it's his two in fingers, his pinky and his ring finger, that are taped. Mm-hmm. Don't know which one it is. But shooting the ball, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter at all, but it's not as vital as your thumb, index, and middle finger. So you can get away with those are the ones that the ball, and the ring does a little bit too. But that's where you get your rotation. And
what finger? You said it was these two fingers?
Yeah, on his left hand.
His pinky and his, yeah.
Pinky and his ring.
Okay.
So if it's... I say all that to say maybe you can learn how to live with that.
I haven't noticed it. Are they taped together?
They're not taped together. It's one of the things where they're both taped and there's like something, I guess, taped together. But like there's a, you know, a piece of tape in between that connects the two.
Got it. Yep.
It's like
yep.
that. So, if you can figure out how to play with that, it may, you know, over some time you can get used to it and just learn how to maneuver around it. But if he says he's going to be able to play, then, you know, yeah, it matters a little bit. But you out there, you playing.
Well, given what we've seen from this offense with DeMar, De'Aaron, Domas, and truly everybody else, Malik Keegan, everybody, Kevin, it appears to be fine. I'd like De'Aaron at a different level because I know he has one. Mm-hmm. But if this is the level he's at this year, whether it's because of this or something else, like I think the Kings are going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be moments, as Jesse pointed out a second ago, 28 the other night. There's going to be moments, hurt finger or not, that man's going to go for 30-something.
Yep.
There's going to be moments, hurt finger or not, where Brody scores 14 in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Like that's all going to work. It doesn't feel like it's hindering him, but it's not me playing basketball with my fingers taped. So
What would I know? It's gonna, and especially if it's, I can only imagine. I haven't played, you know, with a whole lot of finger injuries or anything like that, but I can only imagine that it's gonna take some getting used to, and it's gonna, there are gonna be some limitations that you feel, or maybe some things that you don't feel comfortable with, or just something as simple as being able, with that tape on your fingers, not being able to grip the ball the same way you would like to when you pass or when you shoot or dribble. So there's going to be a level of adjustment to it. But I do believe if it's something that won't get worse and you're just going to play through it, you can adjust to and get used to how to play with that and how to play at a high level to a certain degree. So I'm, if he says, hey, I'm just going to deal with it all year, then I'm taking it as he's like, yeah, it'll be here. I'll get used to it.
Okay. Keith Smith's going to join us at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk to him about a variety of things. Obviously, he's been watching the Sacramento Kings this year. He watches everything. And he wrote some notes on the Sacramento Kings versus the Jazz yesterday that we read to you. So we'll get Keith's thoughts on this early part of the season from the Sacramento Kings. Again, that's coming up at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Of course, it's Thursday. Our man Matt George of the Locked On Kings podcast will be with us in the 3 o'clock hour to close this out. And the Sacramento Kings will be back in action tomorrow when they're in Atlanta to take on the Hawks. Interestingly enough, first night of a back-to-back. By the time they get to Saturday, their last four games will have been a part of back-to-backs. Mm. So there's a lot to talk about Sacramento Kings-wise, which I'm anxious to do, but I did want to bring up the De'Aaron Fox thing. And if no one thinks it's a big deal, I don't think it's a big deal either then. We'll keep it moving.
I do have a little bit of, when you talk about Sacramento Kings and just kind of observing the team and where they're at right now, I do have a question, just a pulse check for you and everybody else about Keegan Murray.
Okay. You trying to trade him?
No, I'm never trying to trade Keegan Murray. Where does this nonsense come from?
Normally this show.
It's people not paying attention to what I'm saying. I never said I want to trade Keegan Murray. That's my guy. My guy.
If Matt George wasn't listening before, he's listening now. His Keegan Murray radar just went off. He's going to yell at you the first 10 minutes of his appearance.
That's my guy, Keegan Murray, right there. But just watching, just looking how things are going on, and I got a question for you and everybody else out there.
All right. We'll talk about it. We'll talk Keegan Murray, and we'll talk with Keith Smith from Spot Track next here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Just real quick, this got nothing to do with nothing. Kyle sent me something, and I just need to hear it. Just based off the title, I need to hear it. This is from First Take this morning.
Okay. Yeah. And I probably shouldn't ask the first one, but I'm going to ask it. Yeah. And I'm being dead serious.
Oh, okay, no. I'm going to hit pause. Anytime you have to say that, don't ask the question. Anytime that you have to say that, anytime you say, I probably shouldn't ask this, don't ask the question.
Oh, no.
Why do black dudes smell better than white dudes?
Oh.
Well, didn't you put off the smell?
Didn't you have the comment in the summertime, you don't shower as frequently because you just jump in the pool?
Like, Stephen A. smells like,
you're
he
not
smells,
hearing black guys say that.
Smells good. Like,
that's part of the sexy.
Why? But that's the thing, though. That's the thing. Why is that?
Well, you know, bathing has a lot to do with it.
No. Yeah.
Step one.
I can't. Never mind. You know what? This is my fault. This is my fault for saying I needed to hear it. This is my bad. This is me. I apologize.
I mean, Dan did preface it with, I probably shouldn't ask.
No, yeah. You goddamn right, Dan. You
step one.
White people shower, dude.
I'm not saying you don't. I'm just talking about.
But every time I like has a thing with a black guy, I'm like,
bring it in.
Okay, yeah, no, he wasn't comfortable with that.
It's about making sure that the right cologne, the right lotion.
Look at Molly wants no part of this.
Lotion is big.
No,
lotion is big.
Got a moisturizer.
Cologne, you got a moisturizer, and the cologne's got to be right. Some stuff.
There's a cultural thing there. I don't have a lot of braces with white dudes. I'm like, oh, you smell like every time I go.
Look at Molly's face.
This list is just going in a lot of directions.
And then my question is this:
how do you lose? Like, what's like?
What would cause number two to happen?
Well, you're not taking care of yourself. You're eating the wrong stuff. Molly's an expert on that. You're eating the wrong
stuff.
You're not exercising. You're not taking care of yourself. I'm saying you would know what it takes to stay in shape, is what I'm saying.
Oh,
she's an example of staying in shape.
Way to clean that one up.
So check this out. So there we go. There we go. How about lunches?
Okay. All right. I can't do
that. That was awkward.
This is one of the... That.
Well, look. That was great. When he told him, he said, you did say this summer you don't shower as much because you just got out the pool. Look, I'm not trying to get in the conversation, but that'd be part of the issue if that's true. And that is a Dan Orlovsky situation. I'm not putting a blanket statement with anybody there. If he said that, then that would be his issue, is why maybe people don't go around saying, you smell great, Dan.
Orlovsky got to go. He's had too many moments like this.
That was crazy.
He's got to go. He's had one too many moments like this, dating back to the stupid ass like cardigan that he wore on draft day. It's got to go. Dan, you're it's time for you to move on to Fox Sports.
Remember when Jimmy Garoppolo got a safety against the Broncos?
Yes.
Like trying to throw a pass.
I'm off the hook.
Yeah, I'm off the hook. But no, you're not. I barely even remember what that Jimmy Garoppolo play looks like. I remember your ass, though.
Dan, you're known for one thing and one thing only. Now, not that Jimmy is, you know, Patrick Mahomes out here, but you can point to NFC Championship games, Super Bowls. You can point to big missed passes in Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, you've got one thing.
That's it.
You imagine?
Well, congratulations, pal. You might have two now.
You imagine being 40-plus years old and you're still trying to figure out the key to hygiene?
You also say something. The idea that pool water is bathing you.
Come on, man.
You're gross.
Is incredible.
Yeah, no.
Bro, I don't want to say more, but you need to get in the shower after the pool because of the pool.
Yes. Yes.
That's crazy. I've never heard
that. That was on national television.
Yeah, no, it was.
I've never heard that before.
My bitch ass is working two jobs, and he's on national television.
Dan said, nobody could do what he does.
You know, I'm not going to argue with him. What's my man's name? McCarty. What was the other? This one of the McCarty.
McCarty. Jason McCarty. Jason or Devin. One of them.
Yeah, right. There's two of them.
Yeah, the twins.
Right. He wanted no part of that.
Yeah, that was...
Dan tried to come up and dap him up. He's like, bro. Look, man, we on TV. I ain't going to make a scene, man, but get your ass away from me. What are you talking about when black people smell good?
Why ask the question when you know you probably shouldn't?
Exactly. If
you answered your own, you answered yourself.
If you utter the phrase, I probably shouldn't do this, don't do it.
Don't press send.
You know better. Like, immediately, you're telling me you know better. And you just made the decision. Do it anyways.
See, and I'm thinking about it right now. I'm processing all this.
Yep.
It wasn't offensive. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah, no. It wasn't
like,
offensive.
It was just
dumb.
It's like, well, number one, why would you put yourself out there like that? Why would you do that? Oh, man.
And Stephen A. constantly taking shots at the way Molly eats is wild.
Yeah, that was weird, too.
Well, no, I don't think that one's warranted this time. Mm. I do believe him when he said, you know about eating, like good eating.
Mm.
I do believe him.
Okay. All right.
First Take Crew's just a weird bunch.
Well, it's not the First Take Crew. It's Stephen A. and friends. And it's like, how much can we kiss Stephen A.'s ass today? Like, what can I do to make Stephen A. like me more? That's what it is. The idea of putting on good programming is dead. Like, that's gone. It's like, let's kiss Stephen A.'s ass and make sure he likes us.
That's facts. Come on, Kenny.
Push back.
Well, you've been capping for this show for years.
Well, but do you watch the show?
Yeah, I've seen First Take.
Do you watch the show?
Do I watch it regularly? No, not anymore.
Do you watch the show?
It's trash.
Not
that's
regularly, but like
it.
I do have it on sometimes. And it's what, more of the
what
same
I play
every
the
time.
Same album I don't like all, for all over and over again.
All I'm saying about that is I don't watch the show, but I have watched it, and there's regular, good, solid program. Like what you just saw for 2 minutes is not what 2 hours of the show is. That's all I'm saying. Like there is regular, hey, what do the Bengals need to do to get back on track? Stephen A's talking, this guy's talking. Like, that happens. It's the same thing with Get Up. Like, we get irritated with Get Up. They have plenty of segments where it's just regular football talk.
You're pushing it a
that's
little,
your
pal.
Show, Get
That's what I'm saying. You're pushing it a little, pal. Like, I'll give you first take if you want, but I'm not giving you Get Up. Anything Greeny is involved in, just exit out. I can't imagine what that show was like this morning with those jackasses back on national. Not those jackasses. It's not plural. That jackass back on national television.
Trying to get
tonight.
People hyped up for whatever reason.
What are they? 2-7? Two and six?
Yeah, I think they're 2-6. They ain't nothing to be getting hyped up. But what I'm saying is, like, the moments where they're talking about, hey, why are the Bengals struggling? We ain't going to never see that 2 minutes on Twitter. But we'll see that.
I also don't think Stephen A. watched.
Well, that was awful announcing. That wasn't like first take, like, look at our funny clip. That was awful announcing, asking, what the hell is this?
Awful announcement. They'll get you.
Oh, they'll get you. Our man Keith Smith going to join us here at the top of the hour. You said your latest Keegan trade proposition.
No, I don't have a Keegan trade proposition.
Misheard you. I apologize. You said you wanted to talk about Keegan Murray.
Goodness gracious.
I apologize. I thought that's what you said.
I had a question.
All right.
Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about, like, all right, well, what's going on here with the Kings? I mean, this is just a quick evaluation. It's only been 4 games. But I'm looking at, you know, the squad, and I'm like, all right, well, how's everybody looking? And doing a check of numbers and stuff like that. And I look at Keegan, and I think Keegan's played fine. Right now, he's at 14.3 points per game, 7 rebounds a night. And I just want to ask you and everybody else, if Keegan does that for the whole year, is that perfectly fine?
14 and 7. Mm-hmm. Can you give me? Do you have the full?
I can get it. Give me
that thing in front of you.
7 seconds.
Because
the only reason I bring that up is because I know all summer it was like, yo, Keegan, you gonna make another jump? We talking 17, 18, 19 point.
Okay.
I don't know if that happens.
Ooh, 4 20-point per game score.
Yeah, and that's my thing, right? Like, I'm not even saying it as him being capable. I'm saying, like, I don't even know how that happens mathematically. So I think where he's at right now and what he's doing right now is, for me personally, if he stayed at 14 and 7 for the entire year, absolutely. He's shooting 41% from the field, 33% from beyond the arc.
Both of those feel really low, no? For Keegan?
The
41 and 33?
The 3-point is really low for me.
41% is not low?
It's lower, but he was 45 the first year, 45 last year.
Okay.
Now he's at 41. All right. 33% seems a little low. Now, he may be a victim of his own success because he shot 41% from beyond the arc his rookie season.
Yeah.
Last year was 35. Right now he's at 33. He might just be a mid to high 30-point percentage 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
If he gave me this all year, I'd be fine. Combined with what the others are giving you, the big three, Monk, Herter, combine that. Like, if they're not slacking off, I don't need Keegan to do more.
Okay.
But
Keegan is a situational step up guy.
yeah, basically.
Like if DeMar, I can't imagine, never seen it. DeMar not having a night.
Yeah.
Hey, Keegan. Keegan's got to get more aggressive. Keegan's got to take over. Like, how quick do you think, guys, because, you know, De'Aaron talks about, I mean, most basketball players talk about, some say it and don't really do it. De'Aaron actually does it. Malik does it. Mm-hmm. If Malik is 1 of 10, he's either going to be 1 of 11 or 2 of 11, because that next shot is coming.
Right.
And De'Aaron is the same way. Do you think guys sense teammates? Okay. All right, guys, a little off tonight. Okay. I need to step it up. I need to ramp up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, once again, that comes with aggressiveness, right? Like, so if DeMar is not, if his shot's not hitting for a night, Keegan, where he may pass up some stuff or just settle for threes. Nah, I need to attack a little bit. I need to be more forceful in the offense. I need to get to the bucket, get to the foul line, get some easy buckets or whatever it calls for at that time. I think they are aware of that.
from time to time. Mostly when it happens like that, though, it's like, you know, you just keep feeding that guy. So, like, if DeMar's off, it's like, oh, man, let me find a way to get him an easy bucket. So, because it always feels like he's one shot away from getting hot. So, I say that to say Keegan would have to get past that mentality and be like, no, he's off. I need to start shooting a little bit more in this game.
Okay. I feel like he's actually shot a decent amount this year.
I think he's played fine. He's averaging 12.8 shot attempts a night. I think that's fine. I think I asked for
12.8. Do you have last year's number?
12.7.
Okay.
But that 12.7 was with Harrison Barnes there. So we needed that 12.7 to be more like 14 or 15.7. Now you got DeMar DeRozan. Yeah, get your 12, 13 shots a night. He's shooting 6.8 threes a night. I think, once again.
Give me that number again.
He's shooting 12.8.
Yeah, got that. Attempts, yep.
6.8 three-point attempts a night.
What was his rookie year?
His rookie year, 3 points?
Yeah, please.
6.3 attempts. 9.8 field
goals. So he's just kind of doing what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we wondered what it would look like with the addition of DeMar. Like, there were people who asked, would the addition of DeMar stunt, you know, Keegan's growth or development or whatever.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.